And what specific action could you take to put others ahead of yourself, especially in your leadership? Part 2. Choices. Do the things that maximize your potential. You have the right and the power to choose how much potential you have. Self-awareness is something we learn. Ability is a gift that we already possess. Choices add to both the things we learn and the gifts we possess. The next 10 chapters of this book will help you maximize your capacity by making choices in 10 key areas. These areas aren't skills or talents. They are life choices. The more you live them and learn to love them, the larger your capacity will be and the greater your success. I want you to know that one of the choices I discuss is spiritual capacity. As a person of faith, I cannot with integrity omit this choice from the audiobook. But I'm aware that you may want to skip that chapter. And that, of course, is fine with me. I value you as a person no matter what. That being said, here are the 10 choices. Responsibility potential. Your choice to take charge of your life. Character potential. Your choices based on good values. Abundance potential. Your choice to believe there is more than enough. Discipline potential. Your choice to focus now and follow through. Intentionality potential. Your choice to deliberately pursue significance. Attitude potential. Your choice to be positive, regardless of circumstances. Risk potential. Your choice to get out of your comfort zone. Spiritual potential. Your choice to strengthen your faith. Growth potential. Your choice to focus on how far you can go. Partnership potential. Your choice to collaborate with others. As you explore these areas of potential, I want to encourage you to make the choices that will help you to become the person you can be. Continue listening to explore the first choice. Chapter 8. Responsibility potential. Your choice to take charge of your life. There is nothing sexy or exciting about the word responsibility, yet it is the first topic that I want to discuss in this section on choices you can make to maximize your potential. Why? Because it is foundational to most of the other important choices we make in our lives. All of us have a tendency to blame others for our circumstances, and even our choices. We need to overcome that tendency if we want to increase our potential and live a life with no limits. If you're willing to make choices that increase your sense of responsibility, you will see a corresponding increase in your success. Here's why. 1. Responsibility creates the foundation for your success. When I was a young man just beginning my career, I was eager to find and seize opportunities. To temper my eagerness and ambition for success, before embarking on an opportunity, I would often ask myself, would I be willing to sign my name to this? In other words, was I willing to be responsible for everything, good or bad, that accompanied the choice to pursue this opportunity? Asking that question determined whether I seized the opportunity or chose to pursue a different course of action. Today, after asking myself that question thousands of times for more than 50 years, here's what I know. The size of the opportunity determines the amount of responsibility required. Opportunity is lost when responsibility is neglected. Tomorrow's opportunity is determined by yesterday's responsibility. One of the reasons successful people are successful is that they see and seize a succession of opportunities, taking responsibility for each one. Often we see them going through doors of opportunity, making the most of them, and we think to ourselves, I wish I had that chance. We see the results, But what we often don't see is the deep level of personal responsibility they had to take to make the most of each opportunity. Without increasing their responsibility potential, they could not have increased their opportunity potential. 2. Responsibility puts you in control of your life. The way you take control of the direction of your life is to take responsibility for yourself and your everyday actions. People who embrace responsibility and take control of their lives see dramatic results. Can you control everything? No, of course not. But you can choose to control the things that are within your control. First, acknowledge that you have the ability to choose. Then, identify which parts of your life you can control and which you can't. Once you begin taking charge and making choices, your life will begin to change. If you've ever had the desire to escape from your life, taking responsibility and starting to shape your life will remove much of the temptation to do that. When you give yourself permission to live the life you want, you begin to own yourself and no longer need others' permission to do what you know is right for you. It is at that point that you begin to maximize your capacity. So take control of what you can control, and don't try to control what you can't control. 3. Responsibility builds your self-esteem. People often have self-esteem problems because they don't take responsibility for their lives. They blame someone else for the bad things that happen, and then they start to adopt a victim mentality. That never leads to success or to greater capacity. When you are faced with a difficult choice to do what you know is right, yet you still do it, how does that make you feel? Doesn't it give you a sense of inner satisfaction? Doesn't it make you feel strong? Doesn't it reward you internally with the sense that you did the right thing? I know it does these things for me. Repeated choices to take responsibility give you mental and emotional momentum, which only makes you feel stronger and better about yourself. 4. Responsibility makes you ready for action. Taking responsibility helps us to become self-starters, and self-starters do very well in life. Why? Because the fastest person is not always the one who wins the race. Often, it's the one who started first. Responsible people don't wait around for someone else to take action. They do. Whenever I am faced with a problem, I focus my mind on the issue and remind myself that I am responsible to act. If I lack responsibility, when life calls for action, my response will be ready, aim, 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 but never fire. Accepting responsibility makes you take action, not just prepare for it. 5. Responsibility makes your habits serve you. Are habits good or bad? That, of course, depends on what the habits are and what they do for or against us. When we apply responsibility to our habits, it directs them positively and makes them work for us. Positive habits are decisions that we make once, like deciding to exercise regularly, and then take responsibility for managing daily. When we make a good decision and then manage that decision day to day, we can see positive results through the development of that positive habit. Without management, a good decision dies. With management, the decision lives on. That's why decision managing is at least as important as decision making. Conversely, when we don't take responsibility and neglect to manage our positive habits daily, we often cultivate the negative habits of procrastination, feeling entitled, and making excuses. Before long, those bad habits become our masters. The habit of making excuses creates reasons in our minds for not being responsible for our lives. Every time we make an excuse, we fail to learn from our mistakes. Excuses put the blame on others or on circumstances, which causes you to give up the power to change your life. Another negative habit is feeling entitled. believing that whether we win or lose, we deserve a trophy. That whether we work or play, we deserve an income. That whether we do good works or act selfishly, we deserve praise. In essence, when we feel entitled, we want someone else to sponsor us in life without our making any effort of our own. Again, this bad habit masters us and distances us from responsibility. Recently, I was privileged to spend some time with Lou Holtz, a good leader, fantastic football coach, and very funny guy. He said, "The man who complains about the way the ball bounces is likely the one who dropped it." It's okay to drop the ball once in a while. We all do. It's not okay to drop it, blame somebody else, and expect them to pick it up. Our first responsibility in developing good habits that serve us is to stop the losses caused by negative habits that threaten to define us, and start making and managing choices that declare who we are. That all begins when we choose to be responsible, which gives us the power to master our habits and our lives. 6. Responsibility earns you respect and authority. Respect is gained on difficult ground, and it is not given or granted to us if it is unearned. Often I hear leaders lament their lack of authority. The problem? They rely on titles instead of earning authority through responsible behavior. Too often, we hope for respect instead of earning it the hard way. We avoid the difficult conversation we need to have and hope our problems will just go away. That doesn't happen. As a young leader who wanted to make people happy, I often told others what they wanted to hear, not what they needed to hear. I didn't take responsibility for speaking the hard truths that good leaders take responsibility for. Today, I welcome responsibility and work to earn the respect of others every day. Eric Greitens, in his book Resilience, describes the bottom line on responsibility. He says, "The more responsibility people take, the more resilient they are likely to be. The less responsibility people take, for their actions, for their lives, for their happiness, the more likely it is that life will crush them. At the root of resilience is the willingness to take responsibility for results. That willingness is also at the root of your potential." Responsibility potential questions. 1. In the past, have you ever connected the ideas of taking responsibility and increasing your potential? How, specifically, do you think becoming more responsible could help you in your personal life and career? 2. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself when it comes to being ready to take action? How might taking greater responsibility increase your readiness? 3. What positive habits would you like to cultivate that could be facilitated by taking greater responsibility? What decision must you make to start the habit? And what actions must you take daily to manage that decision? Chapter 9. Character Potential. Your choices based on good values. At nearly 70 years old, I'm finding that my values are probably deeper and stronger than they have ever been in my life. I rely less and less on beliefs, which I seem to have fewer of as I age. What's the difference? Values don't change, but beliefs do, all the time. Every time you learn something new, your beliefs adjust. In my lifetime, I've let go of dozens and dozens of beliefs that I once possessed, just because I learned more or experienced more. Today, I am far less interested in certainty about many things, and much more interested in clarity about the few things that matter. And though I am certain about fewer things, I have more clarity than I have ever had before in my life. The things that are crystal clear are my values. Why do I put so much emphasis on values? Because values create the foundation of character, and character provides the foundation for success. The idea of building character isn't flashy or exciting. It's not something we regularly add to our list of annual goals. But the results of developing character are life-changing. It's one of only two or three things I can think of that are most important in life. Here's why character is so important, and why you should make the choices needed to develop your character capacity. 1. Good character is a choice you can make every day. Every day you either grow your good character or shrink it. When you choose to do the right thing based on a positive value, your character expands. With each right choice, you develop the strength to make other right choices, and more difficult right choices. In contrast, every time you choose to cut corners, compromise on your values, or turn your back on what you know to be right, it shrinks your character. The smaller and weaker it gets, the more difficult it is to make another right choice. What are you focused on day to day? Making your work more lucrative? Making your company bigger? Rising up in your organization? Or making your character better, deeper, stronger? The choices you make every day make you. 2. Good character speaks louder than words. For several years, I had the privilege of being mentored by legendary UCLA basketball coach John Wooden. He once said, "Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are." Who we are inside is much more important than how others see us. Character represents who you really are on the inside, the moral and mental qualities that make you, you. And that is what speaks to people. It speaks more loudly than your words, or the words others say about you. Your character represents you to the world. 3. Good character is consistent in all areas of life. When a person has good character, he or she has it in every area of life consistently, regardless of circumstances, regardless of setting, and regardless of context. There's no such thing as business ethics. There's only ethics. People try to use one set of ethics for their professional life, another for their spiritual life, and still another at home with their family. That gets them into trouble. Ethics are ethics. If you desire to be ethical, you live by one standard across the board. Good character uses the same standard in every situation. If something is right, it's always right. If it's wrong, it's always wrong. People with good character are consistent. People who try to use multiple standards with different people and in different situations live fragmented lives. 4. Good character engenders trust. When a person lives a fragmented life, others never know what to expect from him or her. They don't know how the person will act in any given situation. In contrast, a person of good character who lives by the same consistent standard invites trust. People know what they're going to get. They know the person's words and actions will line up. They can rely on that person and what he or she says. Whenever you make a commitment to another person, you create hope. When you keep that commitment, you create trust. Good character helps you to follow through on that commitment and develop that trust. Why is that important? As mentioned in the chapter on people potential, all relationships are built on trust. So by increasing character potential, you build the trust needed to increase people potential. That not only improves the quality of your life, but also improves the qualities of your professional relationships, including your ability as a leader. Where trust is absent, leadership falters. 5. Good character is tested in times of trouble. Adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it. When you have good character, difficulty only makes you more determined. When your character is weak, difficulty makes you discouraged. Work on your character now. When the storm comes, it's too late to prepare. 6. Good character always takes the high road. Most people want to treat others the way they've been treated. It's human nature. I once heard a well-known businessman say, "When somebody screws you, screw them back in spades." And, "Go for the jugular so that people watching will not want to mess with you." That's not the way I want to live. I don't want to treat others worse than they treat me. I want to treat others better than they treat me. I want to always take the high road. I hope you'll take a similar path. It's true that sometimes you will be hurt. You'll be treated unfairly. People will take advantage of you. But wouldn't you rather make the world a better place and help other people? 7. Good character delivers on its promises. When you say you'll do something, do you follow through? Are you known as someone who delivers? Or do others sometimes worry that you may give up or not show up? Booker T. Washington said, "Character is power. Make the most of it." Scientist Marie Curie observed, "You cannot hope to build a better world without improving the individuals. To that end, each of us must work for his own improvement, and at the same time share a general responsibility for all humanity. If you want to build your character, you need to try to align 4 things: your values, your thinking, your feelings, and your actions. If your values are good, and you make the other 3 things consistent with them, there's almost nothing you can't improve in your life. Are you willing to do the mundane work of increasing your character capacity? It probably won't receive any fanfare. In fact, you may be the only person who will ever know what steps you've taken to grow in this area. But I guarantee that you will see positive results and live a better life." Character potential questions. 1. Have you ever identified and defined your values and put them into writing? If not, do so now. If so, review them and determine whether they have changed or remain the same. 2. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself on consistency when it comes to acting on your values through character choices? If you didn't give yourself a 10, and who does, what should you start doing differently to raise your score? 3. When dealing with others, do you most often take the low road, the middle road, or the high road? Why do you respond the way you do? What can you do to become more of a high road person? Chapter 10. Abundance Potential. Your choice to believe there is more than enough. How you think in this area determines your choices. That's why you need to focus on changing your thinking about whether or not there's enough to go around. Abundance thinking encourages you to make choices that will expand your possibilities. Scarcity thinking causes you to make choices that will diminish your potential. Abundance calls out to you, "There's more than enough." Scarcity cautions, "Quick, get what you can before it runs out." Abundance says, "Go and you will find the resources." Scarcity says, "Hold on to what you have because there are no more resources." Abundance says, "Your best days are before you." Scarcity says, "This is as good as it gets." How we act is determined by the voice we allow to speak to us in our minds. In general, scarcity lives on the other side of no, meaning people stay where it's safe, while abundance lives on the other side of yes, meaning they'll try something new. What does it look like to live on the other side of no? It's limiting because it directs you away from new opportunities. It's easy because when you say no, you don't have to do anything or go anywhere. It's comforting because it feels familiar. Many people are more fearful of losing the little they do have than they are excited about gaining something they don't have. It's deceiving, because it appears to be safer, but it's not. It's crowded, because it's where average people live. What does it look like to live on the other side of yes? It's exciting, because you need creativity to help you figure things out when they're new. It's enlarging, because abundance creates more abundance, and the more abundance you experience, the greater your potential. It's challenging, because new paths are not easy to tread. It's rewarding, because on the other side of yes, you usually find many more yeses. I realize that no is not always bad and yes is not always good, but most of the time living a life of no decreases your options, opportunities, and outcomes, while living on the other side of yes increases you and your world. People with high abundance potential believe the answer is yes. There is a way to move forward. It may not be easy to find. It may not be the first choice, but they believe there is a way. And that's how I want you to think. I want to help you adopt an abundance mindset and increase your capacity in this area. Even if you're a bit of a skeptic, I hope you are willing to give it a try. I hope you'll listen to these three ways people of abundance think and make the choice to embrace them. 1. Abundance people possess high belief. Why are people who embrace abundance able to say yes so readily? It's because they possess high belief in many areas of life. They believe in themselves. They say, "There's more to me than what people see." Beliefs drive behavior. Lack of belief, which is a characteristic of scarcity, holds us back. We hesitate, not because we are unable to do something, but because we don't have confidence in ourselves. My friend, don't wait for someone else to pick you. Don't wait for someone else to give you permission. You don't need anyone else to say you are qualified. Believe in yourself. Believe you can. They believe in others. They say, "There's more to others than I can see." When people believe in each other, they want the best for each other and expect the best from each other. They bless one another. Professor and author Dallas Willard defines blessing this way: the projection of good toward someone. I love that. I want to live that. Don't you? They believe in today. They say, "There's more in today than I can see." Abundance people seize the moment because they see potential in it. They believe they can do more than they've done before. They believe they can perform at a higher level than they have before. They believe they can grow more and keep growing. This belief not only keeps them going, but also allows them to be the first to take action. And often those who start first are the winners. They believe in tomorrow. They say, "There's more in my future than I can see." Have you noticed how old people think their generation is the last great one? They look at younger people and predict doom and gloom. That's happened for 100 generations. I'm not going to do that. Yes, tomorrow has its challenges, and all youths need to mature. But abundance thinking tells us that tomorrow can be better than today. It charges us up with high belief. That high belief gives us high energy. I want to be energized to do worthwhile things and make a difference. Don't you? 2. Abundance people understand the power of perspective. Our perspective is not determined by what we see. It's determined by how we see, and that comes from who we are. Two people can be in the same situation and see things completely differently. While a scarcity person often looks at a situation and thinks, "There's no way," an abundance person sees the same thing and thinks, "There's got to be a better way." The world is a better place as a result of people whose perspective was shaped by abundance thinking. Change your perspective to one of abundance and from one of scarcity, and you open the door to innovation and positive change, not only for yourself, but also for others. 3. Abundance people are generous to others. When most people think of generosity, they usually think about giving money to charity. While that is truly a mark of generosity, there are other kinds of generosity that have nothing to do with money. These include giving people a chance, giving others the benefit of the doubt, and giving others a reason to want to work with you. An abundance person can be generous by giving others opportunities, giving them the resources and information they need to do their jobs well, giving them the credit when they are successful, and giving them grace when they make mistakes. What I'm really talking about here is generosity of spirit. If you're a leader, you need to understand that by virtue of your position and the privileges it brings, you should be generous toward the people you lead. I wish all leaders held themselves to this high standard, though not all do. The leaders who bring an abundance mindset to their leadership responsibilities can increase the positive impact they make on their teams and organizations. Some people worry that if they give too much of what they have, they will run short themselves. But I would say the opposite is true. The more you give, the more you get. And that just helps you to become more generous. You can see this in action when you smile at others. What happens when you do that? You usually receive a smile back. And that just makes you want to smile more. The more you help other people, the more they usually want to help others. And that motivates you to help even more. That's what I call the abundance paradox. The more you give, the more you have to give and want to give. I believe you can step out of the scarcity world and become an abundance person, even if you grew up feeling like there's not enough. Why do I say that? Because I've seen people who started out with a scarcity mindset choose to become people of abundance. Abundance people don't run out by giving. The opposite is true. They sow into the lives of others and receive a great harvest as a result. Without question, my greatest return on investment in life has been believing in and investing in other people. Generous people are always interested in increasing the lives of those around them. And people will always move toward anyone who increases them and away from anyone who makes them feel like less. If you're like most people, in your heart you'd like to believe in abundance. My advice to you is follow your heart. It was created for abundance. Talk to yourself. Say aloud, "I believe there is more than enough." That's a small step in the right direction toward abundance. And sometimes the smallest step in the right direction becomes the biggest step in your life. Abundance potential questions. 1. When faced with an opportunity, are you naturally a yes person or a no person? If abundance usually means saying yes, what can you do to prompt yourself to say yes more often? 2. Belief in abundance begins with a person's belief in him or herself. How would you rate your self-belief? Is it high, medium, or low? What must you do to raise it and put yourself in a position to embrace a stronger abundance mindset? 3. What are you currently looking at in your life and saying, "There's no way"? Pick something important to you. Tell yourself, "There's got to be a better way." Then start brainstorming ideas for how you can move forward positively. Chapter 11. Discipline potential. Your choice to focus now and follow through. Successful people are highly disciplined in doing their most important work. They are self-disciplined. They guide and encourage themselves to do the work they ought to do, not just the things they want to do. That's what takes them from average to good, and from good to great. And that's why the rewards in this world are usually reserved for those who are willing to do what the majority of people are unwilling to do. Success doesn't come looking for us. We won't achieve great things accidentally. Never forget, everything worthwhile is uphill. Achieving what you want takes time, effort, consistency, energy, and commitment. Self-discipline is what makes those things possible and puts success within reach. And here's the good news. Self-discipline is something you can develop. You don't need to be born with it. It's a choice you make and keep on making. If you'd like to see your potential for discipline increase, take these ideas to heart and put them into practice. 1. Know what is important. Do you know what's important to you? If you haven't thought it through and written it out, it's very likely that any lack of self-discipline you're experiencing is coming from that. The single greatest way to increase your discipline capacity is to know what's important and have that as a touchstone for your life. 2. Get rid of excuses. If discipline is the highway that takes us where we want to go in life, then excuses are exits off that highway. And believe me, there are lots of exits. Listen to some of these and see if you've ever found yourself saying any of them. I'll start after the new year. I don't want to do it alone. I'll do it when I have more energy. I'll do it when I'm not as busy. I'll do it when I retire. I'm too inexperienced. I'm too afraid. I don't know how to start. I've used a few of those myself, but I'm not proud of it. How do you know something is an excuse? Ask yourself, would it stop me from doing something I love to do? If it wouldn't, it's an excuse. Get rid of it. 3. Take action before you feel like it. The message we hear over and over is that we should do what we feel like doing. But what if we don't feel like doing something? Should we wait for inspiration? In the case of writing, every experienced writer will tell you that you have to write when you don't feel like it. Otherwise, you'll never get much done. Every person has a weak area that is especially hard to discipline. So how can you make yourself take action before you feel like it? Here are 3 places to start that work for me. Think about the consequences of not acting. Focus on doing the right thing just for today. Make yourself accountable to someone else in your weak area. What systems do you have in place to prompt you to take the right action when you don't feel like it? Who have you enlisted to hold you accountable? No matter how much self-discipline you have, you could benefit from ways to help you take action when it counts. 4. Don't let distractions distract you. Brian Tracy observed, "Successful men and women are those who work almost all the time on high-value tasks. Unsuccessful men and women are those who waste their time by wasting the minutes and hours of each day on low-value activities." He calls this the crowding out principle. It goes like this. If you spend all of your time on highly productive tasks, by the end of the day you will have crowded out all the unproductive activities that might have distracted you from your real work. On the other hand, if you spend your time on low-value activities, those low-value activities will crowd out the time that you need to complete the tasks that can make all the difference in your life. And the key to this attitude toward time and personal management is always self-discipline. Ask yourself, what am I crowding out of my life these days? Are you doing the unimportant or the convenient at the expense of the essential? I hope not, because if you are, you're going to be in trouble. You aren't expending your energy on what really matters. 5. Be aware of time. I have never known a person who lacked awareness of time who was self-disciplined. Successful people are time conscious. They know how they spend the time they have. and they understand that every minute matters. If you want to maximize the time you have, then I recommend that you do these two things that I do continually. Set expectations up front. Have you ever noticed that the completion of tasks often fills whatever time we allot to it? If you give yourself a day, it takes a day. If you say to yourself, "I have to get this done in 2 hours," it will take the entire 2 hours. Start setting expectations for yourself and others up front. Once you make this a regular practice, you can begin compressing the time you allot, and keep compressing it until you figure out how efficient you truly can be with your time. Then you'll know how quickly you can get things done, and set aggressive yet realistic timeframes for meetings and tasks. Set external deadlines. So much of what we do in life has no deadline. As a result, many things get put off and float from day to day on our to-do lists. That's why I give myself external deadlines for nearly everything I want to get done. Every week I look at my schedule, determine what I need to get done, and give myself deadlines. Every day I keep these deadlines on a piece of paper on my desk where I can always see it. These visible deadlines create an awareness of time for me. They keep me moving mentally. Expectations and deadlines are great friends for any disciplined person. Try using them. I believe you will be amazed at how they increase your discipline capacity and your use of time. 6. Follow through, even when it hurts. To be successful, we need to do what we should, even when it hurts. Self-discipline is the fuel that keeps you going. The willingness to hold on in spite of problems, the power to endure, this is a winner's quality. Say to yourself each morning, "Today isn't over until I've finished whatever I need to do this day." Don't finish your day until what you set out to do has been done. Respect yourself enough to keep the promises you make in the morning. You cannot manage your life if you do not manage yourself. You cannot maximize your potential if you cannot increase your discipline. Life continually gets busier and more complicated. It doesn't go the other way. If you're older, as I am, you recognize that. If I live to be 100, it won't be enough time to accomplish all the dreams I have. I can't have any more hours in a day. So what can I do? 2 things. First, I can expand my discipline potential so that I make the most of the time I do have. Second, I can partner with others, which I'll talk about in Chapter 17. To increase your discipline, you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be a genius. You don't need to come from a great family. You don't need extraordinary talent. You just need to focus and follow through. Discipline potential questions. 1. Self-discipline is where time and priorities meet. What would happen if you looked at your schedule and to-do list every week and allotted specific amounts of time for everything? How much time would that take? And how much time would that save you? 2. What excuses have become a normal part of your life? Write a list of the ones you often find yourself using, and then write the counterargument to each so that you can be more self-disciplined in the future. 3. What percentage of the time do you follow through? The times when you don't, when do you stop and why? Is there a pattern? What can you do to push through at those times? Chapter 12. Intentionality Potential. Your choice to deliberately pursue significance. The greatest way for you to upgrade your life is to become intentional with it. When people increase their capacity for intentionality, everything else changes in their lives. When you become more intentional, your life can transform from successful to significant. Significance is all about adding value to others. That's an uphill journey. Why? Because we are naturally selfish. we automatically think of ourselves first. If you don't believe that, let me ask you a question. When someone takes a photo of a group that you're in and then shows it to you, who is the first person you look for? Case dismissed. You look for yourself. That's not an accusation. I look for myself, too. It's proof that we're all selfish. Selfishness is a downhill habit. Significance is an uphill trait. But it is achievable for you and for me. I want to teach you my 5 daily essentials for adding value to people. If you do these things every day, you will make a difference, and you will immediately feel the significance of your life. 1. Every day, value people. People don't add value to others when they don't value others. So why should you value others? Because they're people. You don't need any other reason. Listen, human beings are human. They make mistakes. They say the wrong things. They hurt our feelings. Many people treat us poorly and are not very lovable. Love them anyway. You know how you feel when others devalue you, and how you feel when they value you. Doesn't it make a difference to you? How you're treated impacts how you feel about yourself and how you treat others. Keep that in mind as you interact with people. When you value others, you start creating a cycle of positive interaction that makes life better for everyone. 2. Every day, think of ways to add value to people. If I said I had a 5-minute thinking exercise for you that would give you a huge return in your relationships, would you be interested? Of course you would. Here's what I want you to do. Spend 5 minutes every evening thinking about who you will see the next day. And ask yourself, what can I say to them, give to them, or do for them that will make our time together memorable, be unexpected, and add value to them? That sounds too simple, doesn't it? But trust me, this exercise will set you apart from 99% of all the other people in the world. And if you do this every evening, and then revisit the ideas you come up with the next morning to potentially improve them, you will be amazed by the difference you can make for other people. People who make a difference think about ways to add value to people ahead of time. Take a look at your day's calendar. Where will you be going? Who will you be meeting? In what ways might you add value to someone else? It only takes 5 minutes, but the opportunities to make a difference are endless. 3. Every day, look for ways to add value to people. If the previous tip was about planning ways to add value before the day starts, this one is about going through every moment of your day on the lookout for additional ways to add value to others. It's proactive and ongoing. Since I spend so much time speaking and writing, I'm always looking for ideas and information I can use to help me help others. It has become part of my mindset. And when I do find something useful to pass on, I ask myself, where can I use this? When can I use this? Who needs to know this? As you go through your day, what is your mindset? Are you intentionally looking for ways to add value to others? If not, you can. It's a capacity choice. If you choose to look for ways, you'll find them. 4. Every day, do things that add value to people. It's not enough to just look for ways to help people. You have to follow through if you want to make a difference. Intentional living requires intentional doing. How do I know I've had a good day? When I say yes to the question I ask myself every night, did I add value to someone today? My ultimate goal in adding value to others is to do something for them that they cannot do for themselves. Mother Teresa said, "Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be a living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile, kindness in your warm greeting. That's something all of us can strive for." 5. Every day, encourage others to add value to people. I believe nothing is as common as the desire to make our lives count, to make a difference. And there are needs all around us waiting to be met by intentional people. Yet so many never live a significant life. Why? Because doing the right thing is more difficult than knowing the right thing. That's why we need to encourage others to act. As you make the choice to add value to others and develop the first four habits I outlined in the chapter, don't forget the fifth and final step of encouraging others to do the same. You'll be amazed at what can happen when like-minded and like-valued people work together to add value to others and make a difference. You can be someone who makes a difference. You just need to try to help someone every day. That's what intentional living is. Every time you think about ways to help others and take action, you're increasing your intentionality potential, making a difference, and achieving significance with your life. Intentionality potential questions. 1. How do you most enjoy adding value to people? What could you do that you would enjoy but haven't done yet? When can you start doing it? 2. How will you add value to people in the next 24 hours? Try anticipating ways you could add value to people on your schedule. You should also look for opportunities in the moment as you go through your day. 3. Whom could you encourage to add value to people? What could you do to encourage them? Chapter 13. Attitude Potential. Your choice to be positive, regardless of circumstances. No single change you make in your life will have a greater positive impact on you and those around you than making a choice to improve your attitude. If your attitude isn't as good as you would like it to be, start the process of improving it by recognizing these truths. You may want to say them aloud. 1. I need to change. Change is personal. Only you can do it for yourself. 2. I'm able to change. Change is possible. Many others have changed. 3. I'll be rewarded for change. Change is profitable. You will see results. Your attitude is one of the most pliable and resilient parts of you. Regardless of your age or circumstances, you can change it if you're willing to. When I am in need of an attitude adjustment, I practice self-talk. In fact, what I really do is coach myself on my attitude continually throughout the day. Why? Because it's so easy to become discouraged without a good attitude. The greatest separator between successful and unsuccessful people is how they deal with and explain their failures, problems, and difficulties. When something happens to you, recognize that it is external. Identify the source of the problem and say to yourself, "This happened because of that." Remind yourself that it is changeable. You're not trapped. Tell yourself, "I can make changes to prevent this from happening again." And finally, know that just because something negative happened, it won't be that way forever. Tell yourself, "It was a solitary occurrence. It doesn't have to affect the rest of my life." Positive self-talk is one of the most important tools I have to keep my attitude positive. When something goes wrong, I say something like this: "Wow, that didn't go the way I expected. Okay, that's not what I wanted, but I can get through this. I win more often than I lose, but no one goes undefeated. Now, what can I learn from what I just experienced? What do I need to change? Is there someone who can help me? Because of this, I'll become better, but I won't become bitter. This too shall pass." Coaching and encouraging yourself is huge when it comes to choosing a positive attitude regardless of circumstances. It is the single best thing you can do to help yourself. That being said, there are some foundational things you can do to put yourself in a positive position most of the time. By doing the following things, You make it easier for yourself to bounce back from difficulties. 1. Remain humble. It is much easier to face life's difficulties and respond positively when you display humility. How do you do that? I love this advice I once heard. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Doing small things that may seem unimportant to us, but that benefit others, helps us cultivate humility. Doing them with love builds on that. 2. Be teachable. Teachability is an attitude of wanting to learn from every experience and every person. It requires an appreciation for everything we experience, knowing that we can always learn something if we have the right spirit. As a young leader, I didn't always display that spirit. I was not especially teachable. I was more interested in looking good than I was in getting better. I wanted to teach others more than I wanted to be taught. Because I wanted to look good, I covered up my mistakes and didn't look at my failures. As a result, I missed important lessons I could have learned. Those things are not true of me anymore. My passion to learn has done nothing but grow, and it's still growing. Because I want to learn from everyone and everything, it allows me to learn from everyone and everything. That's a teachable spirit. What is your attitude toward learning? From your mistakes, from your difficult circumstances, from others who want to help you, from others who oppose you. Are you ready to learn? Teachability not only displays a positive attitude, but it also fosters a positive attitude. 3. Become resilient. To maintain a positive attitude, you need to be resilient and not let anything negative take hold of you. Time spent being angry about the past means less time spent moving forward and doing what you desire to do. I keep very short accounts and don't carry any emotional baggage in my life. Why? Because while I'm holding a grudge against someone and nursing my hurt feelings, they're probably out dancing. If you think someone or something other than yourself is responsible for your success or happiness, then you will be neither happy nor successful. You have to learn how to bounce back from rejection. Resilient people have a positive outlook. They know that the difficulties they're facing are only temporary. They reflect on the fact that they've overcome problems and setbacks before and survived, and they can do it again. Resilient people don't focus on the negative experience. They focus on what they can learn from the experience. 4. Maintain perspective. I think it is very easy for us to lose perspective in life and get discouraged. If your attitude is wrong, it's difficult for anything else in your life to be right. Too often we see a single victory as a finish line, or a single loss as a grave. The reality is that life is a long game. If it were a baseball game, there would be 30,000 innings. That's one inning a day for more than 80 years. If it were a race, it would be more than 80,000 miles. That's a 5K every day. If it were, you get the idea. We need to have the right perspective and remain positive because there are still a lot of at-bats or miles ahead of us. Perspective is especially important if you're a leader. As leaders, what we want to do is help the members of our team to cross the finish line with us so we can all celebrate together. Your attitude as a leader sets the tone for the team as they race. It's difficult to start the race, run it with excellence, and make it to the finish line unless we maintain a positive attitude. If you're a leader, you can't afford to ignore the importance of attitude. And if you're not a leader, you can't afford to ignore the importance of attitude. Years ago, I determined that attitude is a choice. Since that time, I haven't felt sorry for anyone who chooses to have a bad attitude. I just try to help the ones I can by encouraging them to increase their attitude potential. And as for the ones who won't change, I just try to avoid them. If your attitude gets better because your circumstances improve, then that says nothing about your attitude. It's only a sign that your situation has changed. How can you tell that your attitude has gotten better? You know that your attitude capacity has increased when your attitude is remaining